So let's shift into, Tom, let's talk about the winners.
All right.
Let's talk about the first night, who we think the winners of the first night might have been. Questions ranged from immigration to Iran to foreign policy. They talked about healthcare quite a bit.
The environment was a bigger conversation the first night.
I think the first night it was bigger.
Way bigger than the second night, I thought.
So you think Elizabeth Warren is the big winner of that night?
I thought Elizabeth Warren went into it with the most momentum, the highest polling numbers.
Sure.
And all she had to do was not fuck up.
Yeah.
And I don't think she fucked up. And I like Elizabeth Warren, and I liked her for all the reasons that I've always liked Elizabeth Warren. She's sharp as hell. She's got clear and specific ideas. She's got clear and specific numbers behind her ideas.
Yeah, right.
When she says something, it tends to be very substantive. It's not just a bunch of like empty rhetoric around big ideas. You know, we're going to fire people up and get them excited. Yeah. You know, like it's like, here's what I'm going to do. Here's the problem. Here's some numbers associated with the problem. I just think she's got a hard-edged practicality to some real progressive ideas. And I think the Progressive Party lacks that. I think the progressive side lacks specificity. So often they lack specificity. What Warren brought to the table in the debate was specificity. I also felt like she didn't dodge questions very much.
I felt like that too. I felt like she did not dodge questions at all. It felt like when they asked her a question, she answered that question and she never really veered. That's what it felt like to me. I will say, while you were saying earlier on the show that you're not crazy if somebody is, or you were kind of looking for somebody who was actually trying to interrupt people, she didn't.
No, she didn't.
She never did. Yeah. Not a single time.
Yep.
She was very quiet the whole time. Only when she called on, as I recall, only when she was called on did she speak. I don't even remember her speaking up out of turn. I didn't even hear her speak out of turn. So I think if, for me, that's not a problem, because I think, like, you know, there's so many people on that stage. I'll wait to see what happens on the smaller stages for that. And I also feel like she was maybe going in knowing she was going to get a lot more time than other people anyway, because she's the front runner. So she doesn't have to step over people. You got people like Swalwell, you know, the people on the sides, they have to do that because they're never going to say, they're going to get two questions maybe, unless they say something, unless they jump in. So those people had to jump in, but where she might not have to. So I'll wait to see on that front. I thought Liz did solid. I thought she did a solid job. I thought, you know, I expected her to do well. Like when she was coming into the whole thing, I expected her to do well. I thought she was going to be articulate. She was. She, I think, like you said, has some of the most clear, focused plans moving forward.
Yeah.
On the first night, I think she had the most clear and focused plans.
Oh my God, yeah.
Funny enough, I think de Blasio had a lot of really clear, focused plans and was a very progressive candidate, somebody who surprised me with his progressive attitude. I know I'm in the minority of that because I don't know anybody else who thought de Blasio did well, but he really struck a nerve with me. And that's what this is about, right? This is about, this is, you know, your favorite ice cream flavor.
Right.
He struck a nerve with me as a way to, like, as somebody who I thought really did a great job of saying how we should remain progressive. And this whole debate is framed around the idea that this is the idealism part of the Democratic. We're not talking about so much as realism, because this is all about how to be left.
Yeah.
And then we'll figure out how we're going to have to maybe move to the center to get the general. But I think that this is, you know, like, these are the important questions that you have to ask early about where's our progressive values. And he was one of the first people, I mean, one of the first things he came out and said was, like, we need to be bold progressives. He's like, we shouldn't shy away from this. And he was responding to, I think, something Klobuchar said, who really did feel center of the road.
Oh, yeah. Kombucha was terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Like a big snotty booger in your tea. That was just a mess.
Yeah.
It was milk toast.
Yeah.
As milk toast can get.
And she's too folksy.
Yeah. Oh,
she's too folksy. Oh, I could not deal with her yesterday. No. I thought her plans felt very middle of the road. She felt like she was the type of person who likes corporations. She's like, she did not feel like the type of person who I felt would be comfortable, I would be comfortable voting for. You know, granted, I know that I'm saying this about anybody here, and I want to tell people, don't get yourself super butthurt that I didn't like someone and get all mad and post all passive aggressively because you're mad that I didn't like your guy. It's okay to not like people's guy. It's the primaries. That's what this is about.
Right.
But she just never, I never felt like there was anything that she said that I felt like I was like, eh.
Yeah.
She was super mad for me.
Yeah. De Blasio, I felt like, was so New York.
Yeah, he felt New York. Yeah.
So, like, I was thinking, like, man, that's going to appeal to some people, and that's going to put a lot of people off, too. Like, is there, in the same way as Trump, right?
Yeah.
So, like, there's a hard edge to it. There's a, you know, like, an aggressiveness to the way that he behaved, which I know we were just talking about earlier on our main show. And I think that that's great. That's sort of like New York edge to it, though. I wonder how that'll play. I think his ideas are great.
Yeah.
I like that there's no way that guy's backing down for anybody.
Yeah.
For anybody under any circumstances. I was excited. I didn't know much about him.
Yeah, me either.
And I was excited. And I know I maybe should know more about the mayor of New York. It's America's
I don't know shit about that guy.
So
I barely knew anything about Rahm, though. I'll be real honest. Yeah. You know, I knew a little bit about Rahm because he was a famous guy before he came here. But you start going back, you know, like, I certainly don't know who our fucking, like, the second in command is in the city of Chicago.
Sure,
you know what I mean? City's just a different type of thing. One of the things that I paid attention to, though, was the difference in how they handled him versus how they handled Delaney, right? So one, I think it's how much you command attention, right? So when he says something, he commands attention, right? When Delaney would say something, they'd be like, sir, calm down. We'll get to you soon.
Yeah, I know.
They just put him in his place every single time. They just could be like, will you shut the fuck up, Carl?
Dude, they snapped the choke chain
They did. Every time.
Ugh.
Yeah. They wouldn't let him talk. Delaney also—
which is how much talking he needed to do.
Which is genuinely how much he needed, because he was garbage. Delaney, in my opinion, the real losers of that night, first off, Beto is the worst.
Is it Beto or Beto?
Who cares? Let him go away. He's the worst.
He
if you
terrible.
Were a Beto beta fan beforehand, you need to switch to VHS.
Because that guy is the most beta male.
Yeah.
Beto
is the worst. Genuinely the worst. I couldn't, I was, first off, he never answered any questions.
Not a single one.
Didn't answer anything. When they asked him direct questions, he would skip out. He starts off right away in Spanish.
Pander,
which is
so
such
hard.
A hard pander. And it's so funny because there was a bunch of people the next day that were like posting like the King of the Hill meme. It's like nobody. And then it said Democratic candidates. Yo habla Espanol, you know? So there was like three people who responded in different languages, you know, like three people who responded in Spanish. One person, probably a native speaker because he's an actual Hispanic. I don't know if he's Mexican or not.
I think Beto is a native speaker. He grew up.
Beto sounded very American.
Well, yeah. So Beto's deal is his real name is Roberto.
Okay. All right.
So, and he has shirts from when he was little. It said Beto. Beto is like a Hispanic
way of saying that.
Roberto.
Okay.
Yeah, so he grew up, he legitimately owns that experience.
Okay. Yeah. So he starts out saying it. And then there was the other Hispanic guy, Castro, who was also
Castro killed.
I thought Castro was great. And then Booker also responded in Spanish as well. I like the idea of that, but it definitely felt like pandering when Beto did it. And I don't know if it felt like pandering the other times because Beto had already broken the ice. And so I can't be sure if it felt like as pandering. But Beto also spent way more time than they did in Spanish, right? So they would say something very quickly in Spanish and then say the rest in English. And so they would say the main idea in Spanish and then say it again in English and then go from there and explain it in English. Beto felt like he spent like 45 straight seconds talking in Spanish to start out. And I at one point I look at Sarah and I'm like, what is happening?
I know. It took so long.
I was like, what is going on here? And there's a part of me that really respects it in the sense that it's cool that he's showing that you can be multicultural and be a presidential candidate. I like that idea, but it also did feel like someone was showing off.
Yeah. I didn't like it at all, but you know, I'm not Hispanic, so it's not for me.
Yeah.
But also, like, the rest of everything is in English. So if I'm a Spanish speaker and I'm watching the debate, I have to presume that I'm reading it. If I can't speak English, if I can't, you know, understand, if I don't know the language, I have to understand that right? So it's unnecessary. It can't possibly add anything because there's no way I would have listened to 2 hours for 2 minutes of Spanish and been like, I'm just glad they at one point spoke a language I knew by fucking accident.
It's for inclusion purposes, you know, just to say like, I hear you kind of thing.
That's the intent.
You know, that's the intent.
But it sort of feels like it feels really panned. Like it feels like, you know, it feels wrong to be inclusive by sort of, by just pointing out like, I'm one of you. I'm one of you.
I know.
Yeah. Your name is Castro.
Yeah.
Nobody doesn't think you're part of this group.
Yeah. We know you're
Hispanic. Your name is Beto. Yeah. Nobody doesn't think that you're part of this group.
You're Hispanic.
Right?
We get it.
Like,
yeah.
What did you add to this? I don't know. Like, but again, that wasn't for me. So maybe it played well for the audience.
It's possible.
It was for.
I will say that Beto, I think all the questions he answered, he was wishy-washy or didn't have a thing to say about.
Yeah.
And I felt like his answers were, he was stuttering. He just felt uncomfortable. I hope he washes out at this point.
Oh,
I don't want to see him again. He was pretty terrible.
I love your comment before the show. Like, why were we considering some guy who couldn't beat Ted Cruz?
Yeah, Ted Cruz. Yeah, it's true. You know, and you know, you said, it's because he couldn't beat him in Texas. And that's true, right? It's tough to beat Ted Cruz in Texas. Maybe, you know, I don't know. But you're right. I mean, like, that is something that the left would never, or the right would never let go either.
Right.
That would be the rallying cry to how they would talk about it.
Yeah.
They'd be beating up Ted Cruz the whole time to say how weak he is.
Right.
So I felt like Beto, I just want him to go away. I could, for whatever reason, when we talked about him before, Tim Ryan, I remember hearing his ideas and thinking, oh, this guy's got some good ideas. Get rid of that guy. Holy shit. That guy was terrible.
Terrible.
That guy was just legit the worst.
Very terrible.
He was so bad, I had forgotten his name and came in and I was like, who is that other guy? Is there anybody else I'm forgetting? Yeah, him.
Yeah.
He's the worst.
Yeah.
He was absolutely, genuinely terrible. Him and Delaney and Beto, I couldn't flush them from the toilet of the screen as quickly as possible.
Every time that they were on, I would look down and be like, fucking who is this again?
Yeah.
Who, what the, why are you, can we move on to somebody that's interesting?
Yeah.
Speaking of somebody interesting, Castro.
Castro
was fucking killer.
I felt like he was one of those guys that felt so strong on one issue that it overshadowed all the rest of the things he had to say.
Yeah.
But it was so strong that it made me like him.
Yeah. His thing is immigration.
Yeah.
And my God, when he talks about it, you're like, maybe you just need to be president in charge of immigration, please.
Yeah.
Like somebody needs to give you a job doing this.
I felt the same way when Inslee talked about green energy. He was energized about it. I wasn't crazy about Inslee, but he surprised me with how much I did like him. You know what I mean? Like it's not that I would vote for him. I would never vote for him in the primary. But I was certainly happy I heard what he had to say.
Yeah.
And I think he pushed all the people in the right direction. I love, absolutely love though, when he's like, and I did a lot for abortion. And there's like three women like, yeah, we're like women and we did stuff for abortion too. I thought that was pretty great.
Yeah.
That was the one moment Gabbard or whatever did a pretty good job.
That was the only moment because the rest of the time.
It wasn't Gabbard. It was Klobuchar who said that. Gabbard was awful.
Gabbard
was awful.
Hey, I got a question about her. Did you know she was in the military?
I'll tell you, everybody she's ever met knows she was in the military. She's like a military vegan. Like she tells everybody she was in the military at any moment.
That was like every fucking thing she said is like, when I was in the military, I militaried in the military so militarily, it was militant how military.
Also, she felt like a fucking robot.
Oh my.
Like
God.
I genuinely felt like I never felt anything from her. I felt like she was a Vulcan.
Yep.
Like I was like, you're the, I could not. Her, and I was so disappointed because I was so excited for the women on the first night and I was so excited to hear the women talk and I just was so turned off by Klobuchar and Gabbard.
Yeah.
that I was like, oh man, is it going to suck? And it turned out the next day it was a lot better. The second day was a lot better. We'll get there. But you know, the first day I was, you know, Warren, of course, I thought she did a great job.
Yeah.
You know, Warren did a solid job.
Yeah. I had no complaints at all about Warren. Like yeah. I was just, could she have been more aggressive? Yeah. But to your point, I don't think she needed to be.
I don't think she needed, she was getting plenty of time.
So it might've seemed untoward if you're getting all that time to step on feet. Yeah,
I think so. I think you're probably right.
You know?
Yeah. We might differ on Booker. I thought Booker had some good points. I thought he had some solid points. I don't know that he's one of the guys who I'm like, you know, really super hot for, but I definitely want to see him continue and move on. I think he might have some good things to say in some of the other stuff that was going on. He definitely felt like he was one of the people who was, he was more focused on sort of the little guy. And that felt good. You know what I mean? I know that Warren and Bernie, they are 1,000,000% for the little guy, right? But there is clearly some people out there that are not as for the little guy. And he felt like he was sort of, that's a market he was playing for.
I want to like Cory Booker more than I liked him on the debate. And we talked about this off the air. So, and it's probably just a personal preference thing that's smart to do, but just didn't work for me. Cory Booker did a lot of storytelling.
Yeah.
You know? And like, at one point, like, it reminded me of the opening scene from The Jerk. Like, I grew up a poor black child.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's just like, at some point, I don't want to hear your story. You had a question. You've got 60 seconds. I need your ideas. I need your solutions. You were asked a question about your solutions.
Sure.
That's what the question is. When you've got 60 seconds to give a substantive answer to a reasonably complex question, and you spend half of it giving me some personal anecdote that's supposed to lend credibility, I find that, like, that takes away from me from your credibility.
Sure.
Like, and I know that I'm in the minority, and I know that that's to build, you know, some kind of connection, to build a bridge between the person speaking and the audience. But I find it unappealing. Like, I just do. And it's why I find myself like drawn to Warren. Like, Warren's like, yeah, here's a great question.
Yeah.
Here's my answer.
And I said it earlier. I think Warren felt like a professor up there and Booker felt like a storyteller. And those are going to appeal to different people.
Right.
I like both of them. Mm-hmm. It turns out that appeals to both of me because I'm a professor who teaches storytelling classes.
It's true.
So fuck you.
Right.
but genuinely, it was appealing to me, and I liked his stories. His stories were good stories, and I felt like he felt connected to people that a lot of those people on the stage are not connected to.
Yes,
and so that's a thing that, you know, he brings to the table that other people cannot. He's not a billionaire with a gold toilet,
right?
You know what I mean?
Like,
and he's definitely not that. Everybody on the stage tried to make sure that everybody knew how poor they were, though.
Right? You know what I mean?
Like,
so
it was
funny.
Like they tried to outpour each other.
Well, Booker did a good job of that. He's like, I live in a bad neighborhood. Somebody got shot
right
now.
Right down the street. Yeah.
Right now, somebody.
Don't you gentrify my neighborhood. You know, that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
You also had the other stories going on. What I did like, too, is that two people, when they came around and said, what's the biggest geopolitical threat? A bunch of people said China, a bunch of people said, you know, nuclear proliferation, et cetera. Two people that I really like their answer, Inslee, Donald Trump, love that.
Right.
And then de Blasio comes out and he's like, yeah, Russian hacking.
Yeah.
And everybody else just did not even say it.
Thank you. How is that not a massive, for anything that seeks, we are having a democratic process.
Yeah.
This entire debate is about a democratic process.
Yeah.
It is functionally like required in order for us to have this thing and decide what our future looks like. And if foreign powers are interfering in that, that's like, that shapes all the decisions that come after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's necessarily existentially dangerous.
Yeah. I felt like the people I want to move on from round one.
Yeah.
I want to see Warren, Castro, Booker. I'll pick five. So that's three. Warren, Castro, Booker, de Blasio, Inslee.
I can't go past four. Like,
those would be the ones that I would say.
Inslee, I like, but he's a kind of a one note guy.
He really is a one note guy.
And I like his notes.
But if you got to pick five,
right?
You know, you're definitely not going to pick Klobuchar.
You're not going to pick
Beto. You're not going to pick Ryan. You're not going to pick Gebhardt, and you're not going to pick Delaney. There's literally no other choices.
Yeah.
I don't know any. And if you are a patron and you like, you're going to be a patron because you can't hear this otherwise. Tell me if those are your guy. If one of those are your guy or your gal, I want to know if you guys, if somebody out there is like Klobuchar, Beto, Ryan, Gebhardt, or Delaney, tell me why they're your guy, because I cannot get there for those people. I mean, definitively can't get there for Ryan, Gebhardt, or Delaney. Maybe for Klobuchar, maybe if like you grew up around her and you know like her folksy stuff and it doesn't bother you, whatever. I'm really hard on Beto. Everybody thought Beto did terrible. Yeah. Everybody.
There was a CNN article. It was like the biggest losers from night one. And I was reading it and they were like, first biggest loser was like Beto. Oh my God. And then like two or three pieces down, it's like Beto again, just because he did so bad. We needed to put it in here twice.
Yeah. Yeah. It was terrible.
Oh, what a clown car.
So the second night.
Yep. Way different vibe.
Way different vibe than the first night. And I'll be perfectly honest, there was a serious vibe of Harlem Globetrotters plays the Senators.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like there's like a serious like amateur versus pro feel to this night, way more than the first night. The first night, most people I felt like, you know, granted, some of them did terribly. But there's U.S. senators up there, you know, that I thought, you know, they would have at least had some shot, right? The second night just has like some randos and some really bad, really, really bad candidates.
Right. And it had like the superstars.
Yeah, the absolute superstars. This was a stacked night.
Right.
So I'm going to read off all the candidates. Bennett, who's a senator. Biden, the former vice president. Buttigieg, who's a mayor. Gildebrand, who's a senator. Harris, who's a senator. Hickenlooper, who's a governor, Sanders, who's a senator, Swalwell or what is it? It starts with isn't it SW? I'm probably mispronouncing
Swalwell.
It. It's Swalwell. Yang, who's an entrepreneur, and Williamson, who's an absolute nutcase.
Let's talk about the winners.
Let's just start.
Oh, you want to do winners?
Let's do winners. Let's do winners. Let's do winners.
Because
we have to end on the worst. So the winners of the night. In my opinion, the absolute two winners of the night are Harris and Buttigieg. I think they absolutely crushed it. It's not that I don't think Bernie did a good job, but Bernie did avoid a couple questions. Bernie did say a couple things that I think most voters might not like. But if I'm going to say three people, Bernie's totally in there.
Yeah, right.
I think Bernie did a great job for being as old as fuck as he is. I mean, just like his eyes are closing, his body's shutting down. I mean, just like, but absolutely on fucking fire for other human beings. And that is something you cannot fake. And he is amazing at it. Harris fucking mic dropped 17 times in the thing. She immediately became like one of my favorite candidates. And Buttigieg is the smartest guy up there, hands down.
Yeah. What a way different feel. The second night I was like, I'll take this guy or this guy or this guy. Like, I would be thrilled. When I first heard about Buttigieg, I was like, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. Yeah. Like, I've been to South Bend, Indiana.
Who gives a shit, right?
The mayor of that. But holy fuck. And I read an article about how bright this guy was, and I've read some things he said. And I was like, all right, I'm a little more on board. To watch that man.
Yeah.
To watch him is a... I just say, like, to watch that guy's a fucking privilege. He is so fucking smart. It's funny because like Beto and Booker and Castro were speaking Spanish and like fucking that guy speaks eight languages. He speaks eight languages.
And he only responded in a greeting to the person who said greeting to him. That's it. He never tried to pander.
He didn't do that. I want to talk about what I thought was the most powerful part of the night.
Can I introduce this part though real quick? Because I want to say how unfair it is.
Yeah.
Everybody else gets questions that are pretty softball. Biden got a hard one, hardish one. For the most part, there was no hard questions the first night, as I recall. I don't remember a single hard question that was asked of anybody, basically calling their record into question, right? Biden got a hard question. It was semi-hard though, like Biden.
Like Biden. That's the best he's going
to
get.
But I will say this. The hardest question of the entire debate went to Buttigieg. It's unfair. It's the only one that called him out. He's the only one that was like called out on such a level. Yeah. It really felt unfair. So go ahead.
He took this question. So the question was, you know, basically in your town of South Bend, Indiana, there's 26. I might get the numbers a little wrong. I'm sorry. There's like 26 or 29% of the population is African-American and only 6 or 9% of the police force is African-American. What gives, right? Or why is that? The first thing he said is because I couldn't fix it.
Because I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it right. Yeah.
And he is absolutely unflinching in the way that he calls out the problems in the community that he is in charge of governing. He doesn't make excuses. He says the things that he's done. He acknowledges how much more work there is. He says, you know, I have a responsibility to have fixed this and I have not yet fixed this. And there's a process and we're going through it. And I recognize the impact that this makes on people. But to say that he's well-spoken would be an insult to those words. I was like moved by his response.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly.
I was genuinely moved.
I agree wholeheartedly. I thought his response was absolutely perfect. And what happened right afterward was Hickenlooper, who used to be, a mayor, and he was talking about how the same thing happened in his city and they fixed it, right? They fixed it. I don't know if that's true or not. It doesn't matter, yeah. But he's saying that they fixed it. And then someone else, Swalwell from across the stage said, you need to do X and Y. You need to do this. And he's a senator. He's not a mayor, right? He doesn't know. And Buttigieg tried to defend himself by saying, well, there's a process that I have to follow. It's Indiana law that I have to do these things. If you're not from that area, it's very hard to just Monday morning quarterback somebody in that area to doing that. So I felt for Buttigieg there because people are saying like not only did the moderators ask him, I think a very unfair question. If they're not going to ask everybody else a hard question, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that it's an unfair question in a sense like, oh, it's a hard question. You shouldn't have to answer it. Fucking answer the hardest questions you want. But man, everybody up there has some, he without sin cast the first fucking stone. Everybody up there has a problem, right?
Right.
You know, Kamala Harris was, Kamala, am I saying it right?
Kamala.
Is it Kamala?
Kamala Harris. Kamala.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think.
Kamala Harris is an ex- prosecutor, you know, Biden, you know, used to hang around with segregationists, you know, everybody's got problems, right? Everybody's got something in their past and other people were bringing up some things, not in the question, but he was the only one asked by a fucking moderator this question.
Yeah, right.
And so then everybody jumped on him afterwards because they fucking felt they smelled blood in the water.
Right.
There's blood in the water and these two weak fucking ass candidates on the side that are never going to get a vote are trying to attack him for it. Hickenlooper and Swalwell, who you will never hear from again.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Who you will never hear about again. They're out there attacking him. And so, well, I just felt like it was a very unfair moment in that debate, but I thought he handled it like a fucking champ.
Oh my God.
And everything else he had to say tonight, his closing statements, every time they asked him a question, they kept coming back to him and they never stumped him and he never avoided a question. He felt like Elizabeth Warren on the stage tonight.
Yeah. And to say that he didn't that they didn't stump him. He was eloquent.
Yeah.
He was downright fucking eloquent every time that he was asked a question. He was amazing. He was genuinely kind of amazing. Like in my notes that I took, I just wrote so good in all caps. Yeah. I was just like, everything he did was amazing. You know who else? Kamala Harris impressed me.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't know too much about her. I wasn't real jazzed. You know, I read some stuff. I was like, yeah, I generally agree. I was impressed. I was impressed by her demeanor. I was impressed by the specificity of her plans. I was impressed by the way that she handled and really kind of, I mean, in large part, she controlled huge parts of that debate.
Absolutely.
Like she just,
absolutely.
She took the time she needed and wasn't giving it back. She was fucking fierce.
She was fierce.
And I loved it.
And that's a good way to put it. She was very fierce. She felt like she was on point. She felt like she knew what she was talking about. She felt like she had real solutions for problems too. That's another thing too, is that these senators that are in there that know what's going to happen, some of these people really do have genuine solutions for problems. Joe Biden's solutions for everything is, let's go back to when Obama was president and I was cutting ribbons or whatever you do as vice president. That's all he talked about was, remember those awesome days? He's the worst. Biden needs to go away too. Biden was terrible.
He was as bad as possible. It was almost like he didn't want the job.
Yeah.
His solution to everything was, I already fixed that already.
Yeah, let's just go back.
Well, I already did it. You guys are saying I'm already the guy that did that. Well, if you did it, why was it still a fucking problem, Joe?
Right.
Like, he got stumped a number of times and just looked off into the middle distance. Like, he cut himself off when
his time was up. Yeah.
In mid-sentence a few times.
Yeah.
Like, not once, but like several times.
It was terrible.
He cut himself off. He was horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. There was nothing at all that he said that I was like, yeah, if he's the fucking guy that has to go against Trump, he's going to lose.
Yeah, I think
Trump
so too.
Will wipe the fucking floor.
I think
with that
so
guy.
Too. I think it's a terrible mistake that he's polling at such a high rate. I think it's just for popularity at
it's
this point.
Name recognition.
All it is name recognition. I hope that this changes everything. And I really genuinely hope that he quits.
Oh,
I hope that that he's no longer doing this, because it was embarrassing to see him up there. He was absolutely awful. Gildebrand.
Yeah.
What did you think of Gildebrand?
I liked her mostly.
Yeah.
So, you know, one thing I think you and I disagree, like, she has a plan to transition to the universal healthcare system. And it was a specific plan. And I think many of the candidates want some kind of universal healthcare, right? A Medicare for all type program. And she wants the same thing, but actually I was impressed because she has a 4-year plan to get it.
Yeah.
And I like that.
I like that too.
Yeah, I like that.
I think it's good. Bernie didn't even have a plan. Bernie's plan was, let's get fired up about it.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of the negatives of Bernie for me was that when they asked him a specific question about how you're going to get it there, and he's just like, we'll get it there.
I know.
And I'm just like, okay.
Concern it.
Yeah. Like, what? You know, don't get me wrong. Bernie's never off message.
Yeah.
Bernie is always on message. Bernie is on fire for the people. And I love that about Bernie. I think, you know, he at this point is, you know, he has spent his whole career doing this. He is on fire for helping people. He wants to make sure that businesses don't have the pull that they do. He works for the little guy. I totally get it. And I'm 100%, you know, I think Bernie's awesome. But there's a couple of times that I heard that and I was just like, man, you didn't even answer the question. Like, you danced around it. You didn't do a good job. The one thing I didn't like about Gildebrand was when they asked her about, she had this idea of like capitalism. There's capitalism that's compassionate and there's capitalism that's greed-based. And people are saying capitalism is bad, but we need to have capitalism that's not greed-based. And I'm just thinking, where does that exist? There's no business out there that's like, yeah, I just hire people because I'm nice. Like, they don't do that. Like, that's not how businesses work. That's not a thing. You are in charge of hiring people. You don't hire people or keep people on just to be nice. You do shit for the bottom line, period. That's the end of the story.
Right.
It's not that there's anything there that's like gonna change that for you.
But I think that was in response to a question about how America would respond to socialism.
Yeah.
And why, like, only Bernie identifies as a socialist.
Right.
So I think that I think there's a couple of things. You probably can't elect a socialist. Like, I don't think that America,
I think
by and large,
maybe you're right,
is
yeah.
super jazzed yeah. about that
sure.
word. That word is a scary word.
Yeah.
I think that what, like, compassionate capitalism is regulations. Like, regulations, the Minimum Wage Act, for example, is a type of regulation which creates or enforces compassion in a capitalist or free market system.
Sure.
So I think we have a lot of structures in place, governmental structures in place, which are compassion-based, which rein in the worst parts of free market capitalism. Because I totally agree, capitalism is an evil when it's an unrestrained force.
Sure.
And regulations, I think, are the government's attempt to bring compassion into capitalism.
Yeah. I would have liked it if she said that.
Yeah.
She didn't say that.
She didn't say that.
She didn't say that.
But I think, like, I don't know, like, what do you do about the socialism problem?
It's tough. It's a tough problem. And I get that. And I understand that. But I wouldn't volunteer what she said, because that turned me off.
Right.
You know, I liked her ideas on, I thought she had a couple of really good ideas on, you know, a couple of other points. Like you said, on the healthcare piece, she had a couple of other ideas. I want to say maybe it was immigration. I don't remember what it was. It was something. She had a very solid plan that I was like, that's a great plan. That's a great, she understands and she knows where to go with it. She was also stumbling over her words.
She was.
There was nothing that was, I mean, and she spoke for 35 seconds and made 15 gaffes.
Yeah, she was really not eloquent. Yeah. Like there were like lots of mispronunciations of words.
Yeah.
And like, I love the thing that she said. They were supposed to use like one word. They all used, and she was the biggest offender. They all used like seven paragraphs
right.
to answer a question. Supposed to be one word. But one of the things that she wants is like a family bill of rights. And it's something that I think we have to have in order for us to have gender equity in this country.
Right.
And her platform speaks to that more, I think, than many of the other candidates' platforms. And it's a platform that without that, we never get gender equity.
Right.
We
right.
never get it.
But I think that she's not unique in that idea.
Right.
She wants, like, there's a bunch of people who you want universal pre-K. Fucking Biden wants universal yeah. pre-K. So, you know, there's a few things that are definitely leaking over. And if her ideas are really solid, there's a chance that other people will pick them up. So she fell.
Yeah,
because when we talked about her before, she was really high on the list.
Yeah.
She fell tonight for me a little bit.
Me too. I was excited to see her. I was genuinely excited. She did not present well.
The Hickenlooper and Swalwell, in my opinion, are both throwaways.
Yeah.
I don't want to see either of them again. Swalwell looks like he's in a doo-wop band from the 50s. Swalwell, all he ever said all night was, I'm young, vote for me. I'm young. I change diapers. Diapers are bad. They're like government bad. Bad, bad, bad. Vote for me. That guy was the worst. That guy sucked.
Yeah.
I will say, boldest person up there might have been the boldest person up there on gun control.
Oh, definitely.
Which
that
is
was
solid,
his issue.
Which was solid. But again, yeah. it's his pet issue. It's the one thing he really is excited about. So I'm happy in that sense that but I don't want to see him again.
Yeah.
I thought he was, I didn't think he was good. I didn't think his answers were solid. I think at one point he tried to make a joke and it came off so badly.
It's so bad.
It was just fell flat. I don't remember what he said, but I was just like,
what happened?
I was like, what is this?
Yeah. Bennett's mouth is too small.
Bennett,
his mouth.
Can
we talk about his tiny mouth?
His tiny little mouth.
He has this tiny, has no lips at all.
He's
none.
Also uninteresting.
He's
so uninteresting, so uncharismatic. Yeah. His policies are so milquetoast. Everything about him is absolutely forgettable.
You know, I wrote no notes next to his name.
Yeah, he's absolutely forgettable. Yeah. I don't remember a single thing. And I also remember him being a little wishy-washy. So he felt to me like somebody that was like, eh. Not crazy about him. Very low on the bar. We talked about Biden already. Biden is just riding coattails of Obama. He's really at one point he gets called out by Kamala Harris, gets called out by her for being fucking like in bed with segregationists, and then he, you know, they got into a sparring match
yeah.
for a while. And Biden at one point does drop the mic on her a little by saying he was a public defender rather than a prosecutor.
Yeah, it was,
you know,
good line.
A good line.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of stuff that she said that just basically like it was one of those, you had a good moment in the rap battle, but she won the rap battle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like she's living on 8 Mile and you're not. But yeah, I thought Biden just felt lost out there. He felt like
he was out of his depth.
I don't want to see him again. I'm done with him. I hope he goes away. Last two we're going to talk about. Let's talk about Yang first.
Okay.
Because we're going to save the best yeah. for last. But Yang was what you were saying before about somebody who's not forceful. He didn't speak out of turn. He never once raised his hand. And he's not one of those people who they were going to ask a bunch of questions to. He asked, right. answered. He talked for a total of maybe 3 minutes the entire time in an right. hour and 20 minutes. He really did not speak a lot. He was, and the only thing he ever did was bring back to his universal basic income.
Right.
That's all he kept on bringing it back to. After hearing it out loud a couple times, you still are in the camp that it would never happen, right?
Yeah, I like it. Like I wrote, God, I love the idea of UBI. Yang explains it well.
Yeah.
That's my note.
Yeah.
I love the idea. I don't think it plays. I just am too cynical. Maybe yeah. I'm wrong. I could be wrong.
I think that you know, he tries to explain it by saying that there's some programs already that you're going to be taking into. And then if you do this other tax, you get this extra money and that will cover the $1 trillion or whatever it is that you want to send these people. I'm kind of in your camp that says that if you flood the our economy with $1.2 trillion in a year,
just it was $3.6 trillion.
Oh, maybe it was more. I don't remember. Yeah. I have no idea how much it was. I'm just making numbers up. But yeah, let's use your number. Let's say it's 3.6. If you use, and 3.6 doesn't even make sense though, because if you're saying like the amount of money that he came up with when they said, how, where are you going to get this? He was like, there's $600 billion here and this. That's not even close to fucking 3 trillion.
It's not. And that's why I was like, when he was talking, I was like, okay, we're not even,
you're not even a quarter of the way there.
The surface of the surface.
Yeah. So I don't know how he gets the money for it. I know that they talked about some couple taxes that he was planning on implementing, but let's just presume that you get there. If you flood the market with $3 trillion, I think that necessarily creates inflation. Yeah. I don't think you don't create inflation if you just basically give people, you know, extra money to spend, you know?
I love the idea of trickle-up economics.
It's a great idea.
So, it's the idea that by strengthening the middle class spends their money, the upper class doesn't spend their money, right? So, if you're at the top, you have money, you don't need as much money as you have. So, most of your money doesn't get spent. Most of your money gets invested. People who don't have money get their money and they use all of their money to buy
shit.
They buy cars and clothes and food and vacations and, you know, all the money that comes in goes out. That money moves the economy more than money that just gets invested. Invested money doesn't move the economy. So I think his idea on how to pay for it, as I understood it, was by shitting a ton of money into the middle class and the lower class, that will create economic movement, a huge prosperity movement, which will cause people to buy things, which will create jobs, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really a massive stimulus program. Is what that would amount to. I don't know enough about economics to know if that would work.
I don't know either.
I think it's a fucking enormous gamble because it's a $3.6 trillion gamble. And if it goes wrong, you spend $3.6 trillion and then you ruined the economy with massive runaway inflation.
Sure.
So I need to know a lot more.
It better fucking work.
Right?
It better
work. That's like saying like, we can fix global warming by detonating a hydrogen bomb to burn off all the carbon dioxide.
I dig to the core.
Right.
And I stop the earth on its rotation.
It's like, if it doesn't work.
That sounds scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm right there with you.
Who are we left with, buddy?
We're left with fucking Crazy Pants McGee.
Why was
Williamson?
She there?
Williamson.
What happened?
Williamson was on her way to Wendy's and turned and got on stage.
I made a wrong turn at Albuquerque.
I will tell you, I have never cringed so hard
Cecil
in my life.
I couldn't
even look at the television while she was on it. It was unreal how much I cringed when that woman was on the screen. I was so embarrassed for her. Oh my God, never give her a platform again in her life.
She should not be allowed to speak. And I don't mean publicly.
She's so bad.
It was embarrassing. At one point, she turns to the camera and she's like talking about how love will conquer.
It was her and a closing statement. Trump uses hate. I'm going to use love to go after you. And let's meet on the battlefield with love or whatever.
Yeah, and I'll fight you with love or whatever. And you're just like, oh my God. At one point she says like, we don't have a healthcare system. We have a sickness care system. And she starts going into woo territory.
Yeah, like, she's talking about GMOs and like the way chemicals are killing us. And she just jumps right off that tangent. At one point, she starts talking about like how we're not going to beat Trump with plans. We're going to beat Trump. We're not going to beat Trump with plans. Trump won by saying, make America great again. We're going to need to, we need to go deeper is what she said. Yeah. And I'm thinking, how you go, like, that's a slogan. It's the most shallow thing in the world. These people have solid ideas. That's what this is about. You misunderstood the assignment.
She did not seem to know where she was or how she ended up there.
That was so embarrassing.
It was like somebody took somebody from a home.
It was the worst.
It was so embarrassing to watch her. It was just like, oh. Biden was a little more embarrassing, but like she was right up.
Biden was more embarrassing in some ways because Biden felt like she should know better and know how to do this. You should be a more practiced politician. She just felt like she was so out of her element and also really dumb.
Yeah, and
like,
she looked like stoned.
It's not like, and the things that she said were absolute platitude uselessness.
Yes.
Like, it's not like she said anything useful.
Yeah, what's
I don't
her platform?
Know why on earth were people clapping for her? She got so many rounds of applause, and I'm like, this is like sympathy applause, right?
It has to be.
This has to be sympathy applause. I was blown away with how useless that woman was.
It was like somebody's like knitting grandmother was like on stand. They're just like, oh my God. Oh God. Oh my God. She's going to talk about her weird.
It's like a drunk person gets the mic at somebody's fucking like birthday party and they want to give a speech.
Let me tell you about my friend Cecil. Yeah. He's best. Cecil. It was that bad.
It was genuinely that bad. I was embarrassed for her. I was cringing the whole time. Oh, it was so fucking bad. So
can you imagine her as the leader of the world?
I can't. I can't imagine her getting on a bus first. I cannot imagine her leading anything.
At one point, one of the moderators kind of was like, hold on. She's like, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she jumped back. She's like, I'm sorry.
She's like,
I'm sorry.
And when asked, like, who's your first phone call? She said, all of the European leaders.
She reads all the papers, Tom, all of them.
I would call Europe.
I'm surprised she didn't have, like, on her hand, love, fight Trump with love or something. Right?
Love.
Like,
I just want to play love as a battlefield for y'all. God.
All right. So who moves on? Pick five people from that night, from the second night. Oh, who would you move on?
Yeah. So Sanders, Kamala Harris, Buttigieg. And if I got to pick
two more,
go Gillibrand.
I'm going to go with Yang. I'm with you on all of them so far. I'm going to go with Yang because he's the other ones would be Hickenlooper, Swalwell, Bennett, Williamson, or Biden.
Yeah.
You can't pick any of those people.
No, you can't. No.
You can't pick any of those. Those people are flush away people. Again, patrons, if any of those people are your people, please tell me why.
Oh, yeah, I want to understand
why. I mean, right now.
Can I change?
Yeah.
Can I change? Williamson. I want to see her again.
So I definitely want to know, people who are listening, if Klobuchar, Beto, Ryan, Gabbard, Delaney, Hickenlooper, Swalwell, Bennett, Biden, or Williamson are your guy, let us know. If it's Williamson, I'm going to return your money for Patreon. Like, I genuinely cannot believe that. Like the rest of those people, I want to know why you would think that person would move. I can't imagine even remotely them getting a single vote. I don't think any of those people, you know, maybe you could make a case for Klobuchar. Maybe you could make a case for Klobuchar because I thought she said one or two things that I kind of agreed with. But the rest of them, I can't. I genuinely can't. I felt like you could easily flush 10 people. You could probably flush 12, no problem.
Yeah.
You know, a solid next debate could easily be Harris, Buttigieg, Sanders, and then Warren, Castro, de Blasio.
Booker.
I think that would be a great debate. I think those people there, you would have a great debate.
That would also be a field where if any of them won, I'd be like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like that was kind of where I stood with all that. So let us know what you think in the comments. If you guys think, agree, disagree, if you guys have a favorite, some person maybe that we were cool on that you were hot on, let us know. Also, let us know your favorite line that Williamson said. Let us know what your favorite quote from Williamson was. We hope you enjoy this patron only content. Patrons, thank you so much for donating to the show. You guys are amazing. And you make it so that Glory Hole Studios exists, and we thank you for it.